who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Rick Smith.
The rich pay too much taxes. The poor get way too much. Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So the Turpins, charged with torture and child endangerment, multiple counts, pled not guilty today. I don't know. Again, I don't know that parents are the right word. Look, I looked at photos from the courtroom, and I got to be honest. I looked at their lawyer, and I believe everyone deserves a vigorous defense, and yes, due process, and all of that. I just don't know that I could do it after the allegations here of strangling the kids, only letting them shower once a year, never taking them to the dentist, frequent beatings, all of that. I don't know. And again, this is, we're making this out to be, this bizarre incident that never happens. And yet there are these kind of stories that pop up from time to time. And it seems there's a certain community. It seems a extreme religious based community that tends to want to shield themselves from everyone else and scrutiny. And a lot of them, homeschooling folks, which is why I thought it was important to talk about the issue of homeschooling, which is why I've asked Catherine Brightbill to come talk with us. She's a legislative policy analyst at the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. Catherine, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me on this evening.
So you look at this story. Is this an isolated incident? Is this something that happens? Where do you put this?
Unfortunately, it's not an isolated incident. When I first saw the very first headlines when the story was breaking, my first thought was this is going to be another homeschool case. These extreme isolation cases, we track homeschool abuse cases through our Homeschooling's Invisible Children database, and we have over 170 cases we've tracked of homeschooling child abuse where extreme isolation occurred. We have a number of cases that we've tracked with caging children, chaining children, beating children, starving children. So unfortunately, it's a widespread pattern. I'll make clear, not all homeschoolers, or even not necessarily most homeschoolers, are abusive in these ways. I was homeschooled myself and had a very positive experience. But when homeschooling goes bad, it can go very, very bad because of the lack of oversight.
It goes really bad. And you hear these stories. And I heard you going, the caging and beatings. And it just flowed off your tongue like you've said this a number of times before. And I'm going, to me, I look at this case and I'm going, I'm appalled beyond, I can't even explain what... To look at a parent who would treat their child in this manner, let alone 13 of them, I literally don't have words for it.
Right. It's incredibly horrific. And to keep seeing these cases over and over, it's unspeakably horrible. But something we have to talk about, because one of the reasons it keeps continuing is because it's so awful that people want to think of it as an isolated incident.
Now, and you, go ahead.
I was done.
Okay. Now, in your op-ed, you had co-authored an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times where you talk about the percentages of kids who are abused and how homeschooling seems to be central to all of this stuff. And I got to be honest, when I saw, you pointed out this University of Wisconsin study that found 47% of school-age victims had been withdrawn for school for homeschooling. I'm just going, wow, is it that pervasive?
In those cases where it's the child torture cases, a lot of times those cases are homeschooling cases because homeschooling allows abusive parents to hide the abuse. What we believe is most of those parents would be abusive one way or the other, but because of homeschooling, the abuse is able to escalate and it's able to go on much longer because there's no one checking in on them and there's no one making sure the kids are okay. Whereas if they were in a school, teachers would notice red flags.
Right. Now, as you said, when you saw the case pop up, you immediately thought that this is going to be a homeschooling case. When I saw it, before I even read the article, I just read the headline, I thought this is going to be a religious extremist case. To be honest, I generally, and this is me painting with a very broad brush because of my experience with people that I know who have homeschooled. It seems to me that homeschool parents seem to be extreme religious parents as well.
There are two groups of homeschoolers. There are the extreme religious homeschoolers, and then there are secular homeschoolers who homeschool for any number of other reasons. In homeschool abuse cases, if it's a case with a large family, there usually is some kind of religious element. Large families tend to be quiverful families who believe that God has called them to have as many children as possible. But these cases do occur in secular, non-religious, religious homeschool families as well. It's actually in my hometown here in Bradenton, Florida, where I'm from. There was a case a couple of years ago where Janiah Thomas was found dead in a freezer after no one had seen her for nearly a year. And that was a secular homeschool case. Her mother pulled her out of school and abused her, beat her to death, and then hid her body in a freezer. And CPS discovered she was missing when they were called on a separate call for a sibling who was in public school.
Wow. I mean, I can't imagine. But here's the thing, and this is where, I'll be honest, I thought there was some oversight. I thought there was more than there is, and I read the story from California where evidently you can set up your own school and you don't even need to have a credential to actually know what you're teaching. You set up a school. There are like 3,000 private schools that anyone can set up in their home, and there's nobody who checks up on them. There's no one overseeing this. And I got to be honest, as a taxpayer, as a citizen, as someone with a bit of common sense, I would have thought that there would have been oversight just to make sure that the kid was progressing.
Right, and we believe there should be oversight. And one of the reasons that these problems are continuing is because, as you assume that there was oversight, most people do assume that somebody's checking up on the kids. But in reality, over the last 30 years, the homeschool movement has lobbied to reduce regulations, to minimize regulations. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association has fought against any regulations. Homeschool Legal Defense Association even fought and successfully killed a bill in New Hampshire in 1997 that would have defined extreme isolation, like the Turpin case, as a form of abuse. AGSLDA actually fought and got that bill killed because they said it was going to hurt homeschoolers. So that's how far the homeschool lobby has fought to make sure that there isn't oversight. And the majority of homeschool families do test their kids. They do have their children seen by doctors. They are caught up. They are checking in with mandatory reporters through their course of their daily lives, but they've fought to make sure that there is no requirement that they do that.
Do you see this being a catalyst to move in that direction, or do you see the group that's lobbying against this, any oversight? I would argue much like the NRA style. How do you see this going, I guess?
Well, our hope and our goal would be that this is a turning point, that there are no more cases like this, that this is the time that we finally act and that legislators act to protect these children. So that's our hope and our goal, is that that there aren't any more cases like these and no more children like the Turpins who are tortured like they were.
Now, I know some people who are anti homeschooling. I know somebody who are very pro homeschooling. I fall somewhere kind of in the middle. I understand that maybe you've got some thing against public schools. I don't know. I think the choice should be there, but I think there's got to be some way of making sure that the child gets a good education. Because at the end of the day, while, you know, for 18 years, that child is the parent's responsibility, they're a member of society their entire lives. And if they don't get that education when they're supposed to, you know, like all of their peers, they're going to become a drag on society or, you know, who knows what.
Right. And we aren't opposed to home education, Coalition for Responsive Home Education. As I said, I had a very positive experience with homeschooling. I have friends with LGBT children who have chosen to homeschool for a time to protect their children from bullying they've experienced in schools. So we definitely believe there's a place for homeschooling as an educational option, but we believe that every child deserves to have an adequate education in a safe environment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, if I were on the other side of this and looking at this, I would welcome oversight, because, you know, I look at this horrible situation, which is now an international story that the rest of the world is looking at us going, what, you can't even protect your own children? What's wrong with you people? I would welcome oversight. I would want more of it. I would want to make sure that, you know, as homeschool advocates, that no one could throw the arrow that, you know, you're just protecting these kind of people.
Right. And I think that if homeschooling is ever banned, it's not going to be banned because of the kind of advocacy work that we're doing. It's going to be banned because people are fighting tooth and nail against any kind of common sense oversight. Fighting that kind of oversight is the worst enemy for homeschooling, because it makes homeschooling look like it's a fringe that doesn't want any kind of protection for children. So yes, I believe that, responsible homeschoolers support oversight because they understand that it's an important thing and that it's things that they are doing already anyway.
Let me ask you this. You write in the article, abuse in homeschool settings is all too common, even if it doesn't always make international news. In your experience, as you said, you had a very good experience with homeschooling. Did you ever see anyone? Did you ever know anyone who was abused and or treated poorly by their parents as homeschoolers? And I'm not meaning, you know, that we got spanked or whatever. I mean, you know, truly abusive.
Yes, actually, I do. One of those cases is actually a case that we tracked in our Homeschooling's Invisible Children database. Two sisters who were childhood friends of mine, we found out that someone made a CPS call, a surprise visit, and found that they had actually been caging my friends and their parents. They had been caging them and had been beating them, and they had managed to hide all of that away from other people in their life, because there was nobody checking in on them. So, yeah, two friends they'd come over to my house and play with them, and they were experiencing this unspeakable horror when they were going home at night.
Did they ever tell you this? I mean, I'm assuming caging means they were put in dog crates.
It was some sort of makeshift cages that their parents had rigged up. I'm not sure exactly how they had done that. I think something with ropes and bricks so that if they tried to leave their room, they wouldn't be able to. But
did anyone ever ask the parents what the hell they were thinking? What's the rationale? Why would you do something as horrendous as that? Did anybody ask that question?
Yeah, they didn't think they were doing anything wrong.
How could you not think you're doing something wrong when you're? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's, well, in those cases, I mean, like the Turpin case, when the authorities showed up, they were surprised that the authorities were there. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong. I think in those situations, parents rationalize that there's a reason why they need to do it. They think their children are rebellious and they need to punish them. There's always some way that they rationalize so that they think that what they're doing is right, although they know that they will hide it away from people in their lives because they think that maybe other people won't understand that this is necessary. And so, like, at the case of my friends, any of the abuse was hidden away, and the girls, I just were afraid to tell anyone that the abuse was going on. They probably thought that because these other people were friends with their parents, that they would agree with what or wouldn't have a problem with what their parents are doing, because they would have been taught that what they were experiencing was normal.
And didn't, I mean, you know, because I'm immediately thinking they're over at your house. They see your room. They don't see a cage. Did you ever see the cage when you were there? Were you ever at their house?
Yeah. They when they had people over, apparently they hid everything away. So when people were over there, everything looked normal.
Wow.
And so it was discovered because somebody, I believe in their church, thought that picked up and recognized that something was wrong and called CPS. And when CPS came, since it was a surprise unannounced visit, they discovered everything that had been hidden away when they have people over.
My goodness. Well, let me ask you a last line of questioning, because, you know, you look at these children who are abused, and I'm looking at these 13 kids and I'm going, I have no idea what life holds for them. I mean, hopefully they're going to be better off wherever they go. But, you know, what happens to these kids? You know, what kind of a life do they lead? You said you've had some experience. You know, what can you expect out of this?
It can be very difficult. Even with cases where children weren't physically abused, but they experienced educational neglect, where they finished homeschooling with a third or fourth grade education, they can struggle for a number of years trying to catch up with where their peers are academically so that they can even work any kind of jobs, be competitive with anything other than sometimes in these cases, the kids aren't even prepared to do kind of a minimum wage working like McDonald's because they're so unprepared for life. And so they have a lot of work doing catching up. And then with the abuse, when they experience abuse as well, it adds and compounds the problems. We at CRHE, we hear fairly regularly from homeschool alumni asking for help because they're trying to figure out how to move past the neglect that they've experienced and the abuse they've experienced. So they will have a very long road ahead of them, and I certainly hope that they have the support that they're able to make it.
Yeah,
and
I mean, my heart goes out to them, and I fear for the future for them. It's just, wow. And for me, there isn't a room in hell small enough for these two parents. Just my thought.
Yeah.
Catherine, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate your time and telling us, explaining this to us. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate your time. I just tell you, wow. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. I can't imagine. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Wants me to give my money to someone like you. But I do believe in what a crazy man can do.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.